One of the reasons I was so surprised and delighted by Travis's submission is that sound writing is something I haven't really spent much time thinking about as a modality in my classroom. Of course, I know it exists, and it's an active area of study, but I've never thought of myself as trained in sound. I have no musical experience or upbringing, for example. And, unless you count the burgeoning podcast playlist on my iPhone, I have no specific interest in the kinds of technologies that produce or define sounds or sound studies. So being confronted with such a submission forced me to think again about how I might be shutting out a whole spectrum of creative possibilities by not foregrounding what those possibilities might be. You might be asking why this assignment makes use of contract or specifications grading. I choose to use these kinds of grading strategies because of the anxieties that multimodal composing can bring up in students, who are often accustomed to simply writing a paper and getting a grade. This is a familiar literacy they've internalized over many years in high school and college. Being asked to compose in different, and sometimes multiple, media can bring up any number of anxieties about one's ability to perform in an unfamiliar mode, even as an instructor, and you can hear my own anxieties about expertise in unfamiliar modes shapes my understanding of the assignment. So the contract grading specifications are aimed at allowing for maximum play, in the sense of the play one has within generic bounds. I've provided here a retooled version of the assignment, revised along two axes. First, I provided stronger possible guidance and some examples in the prompt sheet, referring to not just sound but also dance, another modality I'm not fluent in. This work usually happens in class sessions, where we spend time discussing font styles in terms of their rhetorical and affective dimensions, but I was more careful to provide a set of correspondences or mappings that students could use to begin thinking about how one modality might map to another along specific dimensions. So, for example, I mapped boldness to volume, letter spacing to length, and size to frequency. Second, I reworked the contract grading specifications to foreground the way we apprehend and engage with different modalities, using the concrete phrases sound, smell, taste, touch, movement, and play, open, assemble, in place of more abstract terms such as reinterpret and engage. There are some possible downfalls to providing more specific examples of mapping and modalities. I've come to see over the years that if I provide an example of a previous student's work, more of that type of work will subsequently appear, although it can be also beneficial and sometimes delicious, as in one semester where I showed a photo of a cake-related submission and received many food items in response. Why we should expect otherwise is something to consider. After all, cake and mixtapes and pasteboards all have their own well-defined languages and genre boundaries. Still, there is something exciting about introducing an assignment like this for the first time in a class. It can have unexpected outcomes and ask us to reconsider what we're doing when we do it, both as students and instructors. Ultimately, I think Travis's work suggests to me not only that students can have more agency if given the opportunity, but also that instructors need to be aware of the choices that they're making, not just by forestalling certain kinds of action, but by failing to recognize them as possible actions at all.